First this morning, just over a month to go now before Budget 2023 is announced. And the question is the government still considering plans to introduce a new 30% rate of income tax? Well, this has been a hot topic since it was first floated in March by Antonis de Leo Varadkar. But reports suggest Cabinet is divided over the issue, and Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue has suggested it will require significant structural change to the taxation system in order to be implemented. Sean Fleming, Minister of State at the Department of Finance and Fianna Fáil TD for Laoise Offaly, joins me on the line now. Good morning to you, Minister.
Good morning, Claire.
Thanks for joining us this morning. It's interesting how this thing is playing out. I see in the Irish Daily Mail, some unnamed Fianna Fáil sources are saying that this is a stunt and have dismissed it as a slogan. But it seemed to me, from having interviewed Antonis back in March about this, that he was very serious about it. He asked the Department of Finance to look at it. The Tax Strategy Group have examined it. So is it a stunt or will it be a reality?
Okay, what's more important, whether it's we call things done to reality. The issue is the budget is coming up in 6 weeks' time, and what are we going to do to help low and middle income families? That's what this debate is all about. 30% is one aspect of the debate, and it seems to have taken the headlines. However, what I can say is what's under consideration is what's in the programme for government dealing with income tax. And Fianna Fáil was very keen in the programme for government, which is the framework document for this budget and all our budgets, is to index tax bands as much as possible and index tax credits. And they are two real good ways of giving extra money to low-income families and middle-income families. The issue of the 30% has now entered the debate, and it has been said to bring in a new tax rate will cause a lot of significant changes right across the taxation system. The most obvious one is that people, and we want to encourage people always to contribute to their own pensions. At the moment, you get tax relief at your higher rate. If you're not, you get it at 20% if you pay income tax at 20%. If you pay tax at 40% at the moment, you get 40% relief. So if we introduce a 30%, we would be reducing the tax relief and pension contribution for a large number of workers.
So it would have implications outside of the tax that you pay.
It's a very complicated issue to introduce a new tax rate at relatively short notice.
Yeah,
so
it's
an issue that's being considered, but there are other issues are already documented on the table from the
programme. But Sean, it's become very political, all of this, hasn't it?
No, the budget is not political.
Well, I just see one Fine Gael minister talking to John Drennan saying that Fianna Fáil don't know it yet, but we have them over a barrel. The boss is a maestro at this game.
I genuinely don't get into that type of talking behind the scenes and throwing slagging off. Sean Fleming doesn't do that type of politics, right? The people are not interested in that. It's great crack to read that sort of stuff, but what the people really want to know, the cost of living, inflation is going up. There's a commitment in the programme to deal with the tax bands through indexation. That's the most obvious thing to do, to index the tax credits that people get at a time of inflation. That those issues now are more important than a few years ago.
So Leo Varadkar's 30% tax rate is not a runner as far as you're concerned. That's what I'm hearing from you.
No, I'm certainly not saying that, and I didn't say that. I'm saying it's a far more complicated way of dealing with the issue, and I've given you one example about how it can affect people's pension contributions. The other ones are simpler and more straightforward and will help low and income earning families straight away. And they're already in the programme for government. We discussed these issues in the formation of government, and it's agreed in the programme for government by all three parties that we would look at the indexation of tax.
But no, when you were discussing the programme for government and when you were signing off on that, 30% tax rate wasn't mentioned, was it?
No. So, but the other ones I mentioned. But as I said, times have changed, the economic situation has changed, government is now in a surplus which we didn't expect. There's always a possibility of extra measures, but we have to balance those extra measures with one-off measures that can come in when we have a good surplus this year to help people with the cost of living that won't have a long-term cost, hopefully, when we don't have inflation in the long term.
And there's agreement, isn't there, the cost of living needs to be addressed. That's a given. But this 30% tax rate, do you see it then as some sort of all-encompassing slogan?
Well, I see it as a significant contribution to the issues that have to be looked at between now and Budget Day in 6 weeks' time, including the indexation, including tax credits and tax bans, and also conscious of the structural changes we would have to make to bring in the 30%. Mm.
You're not mad about the idea, though. I get the sense that it's not for you.
Well, what I'm saying, the others are more simple and more straightforward and more easily understood, and the people of Ireland will understand indexation of their tax bands, which is 36,800.
Yeah, I don't know. I think like a 30% tax rate is a pretty attractive thing for a voter to see in a budget.
But that doesn't help some people who are on the 20% tax rate and don't have enough income to get to the 30% tax rate. So Fianna Fáil wants to help the lower income families that are on the 20% tax rate who won't even reach the 30% or the 40% rate. That issue of the 30% will help a number of people, but will leave out a number of low-income families.
Because the Tax Strategy Group found that it would help a million people, wouldn't it? It would help a million people. And you're saying the people who earn less than 36,800 as a single person, that those people would be left out if this 30% were to go ahead.
And bear in mind, there's 2.5 million people in the workforce.
Okay,
and that's a significant element as well. So we have to have something in it for the lower income people, lower income families, and indexing the tax band and indexing the tax credit will help reduce the tax burden on people who are, and it'll stop people going into the 40% tax band much earlier. So rather than you can have a middle rate, but maybe another way of looking at it is try and keep people out of the tax band, the top tax rate at 40%. That's another way of looking at it. I'm not against it, let's be clear.
Yes.
I'm not
knocking
it. It's complicated, whereas the others are more straightforward. That's all I'm saying.
You won't be surprised to hear that the text messages are flying in on this one. And this one, a 30% tax rate is a cheap political stunt. What do you say to that?
I think I said a minute, I'm not getting into the sloganeering on those types of issues. I want to help people, and Fianna Fáil and the entire government, the three parties in government, want to help as many families as possible with the cost of living when we bring forward our early budget next month. And I've given two ways we can do it, and the 30% tax rate is another way of doing it as well. Mm-hmm. And they all have to be examined. No decisions have been made. Nothing has been ruled out at this point. But it's also important that we deliver, especially for the low-income and middle-income.
What workers. About the universal social charge? I have a number of people on to me here saying that if the government wants to give money back to people, why don't they get rid of that? It hasn't been mentioned in this debate.
No, income tax is more straightforward. But that is another measure that can be looked at. It hasn't come up in discussion that any discussion I've had in recent times that has focused on the income tax. But the USC, we always try and index that so that people on the minimum wage don't get caught for USC, and people at the lower rates of income pay a much lower rate, and the USC goes up very steeply for the higher income people, which people would say is fair enough.
Sean, stay with us if you can, because Jack Horgan-Jones is on the line as well, political reporter with the Irish Times. Jack, thanks for taking our call today. Where are we at with this 30% tax rate? I mean, is it just a slogan, as some have apparently said on the Fianna Fáil side, or is it a real proposal that is still on the table?
Well, I think you put your finger on it a little while ago, Claire, when you were talking about it being kind of like this standard bearer policy for Fine Gael and potentially attractive to a lot of people in that kind of band of middle and kind of upper middle income earners. The problem is that, as we can hear from Sean, what he's articulating there is that he's running into the Taoiseach is running into not insubstantial opposition from his coalition partners. I mean, Sean says that, you know, he's not discounting anything and not taking anything off the table, but he's merely outlining and articulating at length all the reasons why it's a bad idea. And you know, when people are talking on background on a non-attributable basis in the other parties, as you can see from some of the reporting today, you know, the dismissals are either earthier and more concise of the policy, and that extends beyond Fianna Fáil to the Greens as well. I was talking to a senior Green source yesterday and reporting this morning that, you know, that the party not only has concerns over the kind of logistical side of it that you've outlined, you know, whether it can be done quickly and whether it's a simple manoeuvre to get done in the next month or so, but also about the equality implications, you know, the fact that it's very hard to get away from the political sense that this is a tax break for better income, better earning tax units, so couples or individuals. And I think that that's ultimately where this policy will stand or fall, because while it may be a good kind of gambit, a good political gambit, and as I they say, a standard bearer policy potentially for Fine Gael, it's hard to get away from the fact that, you know, on the one hand, you have widening the tax bands, which benefits 2 million people and a broader kind of swathe of income distribution, or you have the new 30% rate, which would seemingly only benefit 1 million people and a narrower swathe of the income distribution. Therefore, you're leaving a million people kind of on the shelf and not benefiting from tax breaks in the budget.
And I saw Cliff Taylor in your own paper, his analysis of this suggests that it would hoover up any capacity to give money back to people, meaning that there would be less cash around to spend on childcare, for example, or social welfare.
That's true. I think that, you know, because of the nature of the budget this year, there's already a lot of discussion about the various measures that might be included. And we can get away from the fact that, you know, there is limited room for manoeuvre on tax in particular. There is an agreed tax package of 1.05 billion. I am told, and they do always say this, so discount for that, but I am told that that's more or less set in stone within the 6.7 billion euro budget package. The once-off measures is another thing again. But, you know, doing this at scale, and widening the and introducing the new tax rate would gobble up an awful lot of that, taxation room, and leave very little room for anything else. And we should also remember that within that tax package of 1.05 billion, if we extend things like excise cuts and VAT cuts on fuels, that has to be paid for within the taxation package as well. So there may be less room for manoeuvre on offer than might otherwise be the case at the first initial glance.
Mm-hmm. Are you concerned, Sean, that this might just erode the tax base further, meaning that down the line, and we know we're facing challenges when it comes to corporation tax, that this could lead to big problems?
Well, I think people can be assured that what we will be doing in the budget will be sustainable in the long run. That's why we don't want to overreach just on 1 year only on the basis of very strong corporation tax receipts that we've experienced. And they may not always continue. We all hope they always will, but you can't bank that is always going to be the case. So in fairness, there has to be an element of prudence here as well, because people want the government to be responsible. They want to be as generous as possible, but they don't want to overreach that will cause a problem in 36 or 24 months' time down the road. And we have to be careful against that.
Mm-hmm. Pascal Donoghue doesn't seem to be in favour of this 30%. Either, not so much anyway, Sean Fleming. Do you think that he is being sensible here?
Well, I would like to remove the issue of the 30% from the politics. I know people love talking about the politics, right? You know, but the substance of the issue is the budget statement. And we have said, introducing a new tax rate, you'd want to get good cross-party support, approval across the government departments. It affects pensions, it affects a whole lot of other issues. And to do that, a lot of discussion would have to take place.
That is politics, though. You can't separate the two because you've got three parties in government. You'd have to have political agreement on this. And at the moment, that's not there, clearly.
No, sure, there's no decisions made on the budget. And that's why I said it is still on the table for discussion. But so are the other issues that's in the programme for government, like the tax band, indexing that and indexing the tax credits, which would help practically every worker in the country who's even paying the 20% rate. They wouldn't. They would even benefit from that significantly, as well as, so any benefit at the moment that you bring in to help low-paid workers will also work up the line and benefit better-off workers. But the idea of targeting something solely that will help the better-off and it doesn't help the low to middle-income families, that's a big issue that we will have to trash out at government level. But I think you're quite clear where the Fianna Fáil side would be on that. We want to help as many people as possible.
Jack, there were reports over the weekend that landlords are going to be given a tax credit rather than to address this in another way. Is that a belated attempt to convince them not to sell up? Because we have seen last week that record numbers have left the market this year.
Yeah, and I think it might be a slightly panicked attempt to convince people not to sell up, because, you know, this was in the ether that something would be done with the rental market in the budget this year. Because if you cast your mind back to last October, there was nothing done for renters, and that was one of the criticisms of the budget. So it was kind of a vague sense out there that something would be done. But last week we had two things. We had RTP figures showing the number of people being evicted and the associated issue of landlords leaving the market. And then we had this Daft report in the middle of the week last week, which outlined just how few properties were available. And it really hammered home, I think, the kind of haphazard nature of renting in Ireland at the moment, and you know how landlords are leaving the market, and really built the kind of political case for action before I think we have a really fully fleshed out menu of policy options to go with it. So, you know, last week myself and others were reporting around the possibility that there be tax breaks for both renters and for landlords in the market, and you know there's this suggestion that, you know, if a landlord gives a longer tenancy agreement, then there might be tax breaks. But again, it's not very fleshed out, it's not very detailed, so I think there might be a rush now to try and develop that between now and budget day. There were options outlined in some of the tax strategy group papers, but not massively detailed, you know, no costings associated with it, the pros and cons argued quite evenly, you know, no strong suggestion on any one policy option. So I think that, you know, if they're going to do something, if it's going to make a meaningful difference, and if it's going to kind of arrest one of these big political threats that's coming down the tracks over autumn and winter, which is of an even more severe housing crunch, an even more severe rental crisis, I think they'll be working extra hard now between now and the budget.
Okay, is this a panicked measure to address the rental crisis, Sean?
No, I don't think so. The rental issue, as you said, hasn't been dealt with because it's quite a complicated issue and it is complex, and we need to help renters. So I'm saying that straight up. The measures about keeping landlords in the market, everything we've just spoken about there in terms of reducing the income tax burden will help all the landlords as well, because they do pay tax on any net income they receive, normally at their higher rate of tax, because they may have another income separate from that rental income. So everything we've just spoken about will help landlords stay in the market if they can pay less tax like everybody else.
But will there be an additional measure outside of moving tax bans?
The answer is I don't know the answer to that at this point in time. There's 6 weeks to go and lots of discussions have to happen yet on these issues. But the issue of renters is an issue that affects so many young people that we have to help.
Okay, Sean Fleming, thank you for joining. And Jack Horgan-Jones as well with the Irish Times. I'm also joined by Professor Padraig Kenna from the Centre for Housing Law, Rights and Policy at the University of Galway. Padraig, thank you for joining us this morning. We know that landlords are leaving the rental market, but the question is, how many? Do you think there's an exodus from the market at the moment?
Good morning, Claire. We're using the figures from the Residential Tenancies Board, where any notice of eviction has to be sent to the RTB. So we're able to see the reasons for the eviction notices, and quite a lot, the vast majority really, are where the landlord is selling. Now, what we don't have any great research on is the reasons they're selling. And we do have statements from many representative organisations talking about tax treatment and too much regulation. But there's a lot of reasons. And I think one of the biggest ones that really needs to be examined is how many of these people are reluctant landlords who bought at the Celtic Tiger peak and who now can sell without losing any of their negative equities wiped out now. So we need to know the reasons, I think, much more than we do at the moment.
And that's relevant because if you do something on the tax side, if you tweak, you're saying that might not have that big of an impact because these landlords might want to leave for other reasons.
Well, that's my thinking, that there's a couple of other reasons. Another reason would be that the condition of apartments has come to light recently. We know that about 2/3 of our apartments are rented. We've also discovered in a recent report that there's up to 50% of these have serious defects. And some owners, some landlords are being faced with very large bills for repairs. And sometimes owners' management companies not functioning properly. So there might well be other reasons for this.
Mm-hmm. What about short-term lets? How big of a problem are they, Airbnb and other websites like them, in terms of taking up available property?
Well, I think this is the elephant in the room, really. When we talk about the reduction of houses available for rent on the main website, and then we compare with the holiday lets, short-term lets websites. I had a quick look this morning in Galway City. I found 91 on the short-term lets website of entire properties, and I found 6 on the main DAF.ie website. So there's clearly something big happening here that we need to look at.
Yeah, we checked this morning as well, and Airbnb no longer shows apparently the exact number of lettings available in Ireland. It says over 1,000 now. In May it said 15,657, so I'm not sure whether that's a policy change. It says that not all of those properties are active, even though they're listed on the site. Now, the most frequently cited website in terms of available properties to rent, Padraig, is DAF.ie, of course. Does that give us the full picture?
Well, I think it's very risky to base a policy on a private website. I mean, landlords have to pay to advertise there. There's such a demand at the moment that it's not necessary to advertise. But in any case, most people find their rented accommodation through networks, really, you know. So it's not, I don't think it's a really good reflection of the state of the market. I think it reflects one website. Mm-hmm. So I really do think we need to look at this a bit more deeply.
All right, Pádraig Kenna, thank you very much for joining us from the University of Galway.